If any of you guys come to Parkville Market, it's on me. Seriously.
You have tacos there.
Oh, yeah. I'm well known.
Just keep your hands in sight.
Yes, definitely. I'll keep them wide open. My last question, how do I follow up about this?
They'll be in touch.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You can ask them before you leave.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, you might be able to guide them.
Next case. Okay, case number 823-503, Middletown.
It's no football today.
503?
Yes, come on, sir.
Doesn't matter.
You're good. Whatever comfortable.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please state your name, your official authority.
Sergeant Elias Martz, M-A-R-T-Z, for the issuing authority of Middletown Police Department.
You may proceed. Opening statement.
Background investigation revealed the appellant had multiple inaccuracies on the submitted notarized DPS 799C, as well as past felony arrests and or convictions, which have subsequently been pardoned, but which still present suitability issues. Additionally, past family violence protective orders were also located.
Thank you. Would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Thank you for having me. The inconsistency was kind of my fault. I didn't really, my wife kind of usually helped me with the application stuff like that, so I kind of, certain things I didn't understand. I kind of said, like, pretending to, like, the addresses and asked me for my previous addresses. And I just put where I live at now, and because I've been there for, like, the last 7 years now, so that's about it. So I don't have, like a real open thing.
Okay, you may proceed.
On the submitted DPS 799C form states list residential addresses for the past 7 years. The appellant left this area blank. The background check revealed a possible four or more previous addresses. Some of these were confirmed through police interactions documented in the reports of other police agencies. These include New Britain Police listing a Corbin Avenue, New Britain address on January 26, 2019, the Manchester Police.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second. What town do you live in now?
I live in Middletown.
Okay, because you moved around a lot. I just wanted to make sure you still.
Yeah, I've been here 7 years now.
Okay.
The Manchester Police listing a New Britain Avenue, Hartford address on September 13th of 2017, and the East Hartford Police listing a Nutmeg Lane, Hartford address on March 13th of 2016, and again on February 28th of 2018. Therefore, the area being blank was shown to be inaccurate. While the criminal history of the appellant was shown to have no arrests or convictions, two newspaper articles were found which referenced the Windsor police actively searching for the appellant, who was wanted on an active arrest warrant. The title of the article on thepatch.com was Windsor Police, Home Invasion Suspect Armed and Dangerous. The Hartford Current article stated the warrant was for the charges of home invasion, larceny second degree, burglary first degree, unlawful restraint first degree, reckless endangerment first degree, and risk of injury to a minor. These are serious charges, which despite being erased from a criminal record, are still cause for concern in regard to suitability for a pistol permit applicant. A check of the protective order database revealed that the appellant was the respondent in four protective orders, which spanned a time frame from 2004 to 2018, with the most recent one being within 5 years of the application. The application was submitted on October 22nd of 2022, and the protective order expired on November 5th of 2018, approximately 4 years prior. This protective order should have been listed by the appellant on the DPS 799C, which asks, within the past 5 years, have you been the subject of a protective or restraining order issued by a court in a case involving the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against another person? Regardless of the outcome or result of any related criminal case, the appellant answered no. This was shown to be inaccurate. Furthermore, the protective orders were shown to be in force from March 8, 2004 to April 6th of 2004, which was 29 days, from March 14th, 2006 to April 12th of 2007, which is 394 days, from June 6th, 2013 to December 18th, 2013, 195 days, which also listed an assault third degree with a guilty verdict, and from August 6, 2018 to November 5, 2018, 91 days, listing stalking second degree with a guilty verdict. This is a total of 709 days, just under 2 years, during which the appellant was subject to protective orders over the span of 14 years. The charges listed on the protective order files with guilty verdicts have been pardoned and no longer appear on the appellant's criminal record. However, the family violence nature and severity of those incidents still present a suitability issue. DPS 799C states, I further understand that any statement in this application that is determined to be false or inaccurate shall constitute grounds for the denial of such application. In this case, there were two areas on the DPS 799C which were shown to be inaccurate, past addresses and protective orders. Based on the presence of the past protective orders, including the length of time of the orders, as well as the span of time over which the orders have been present, the two inaccurate areas of the DPS 799C and the severity and nature of past criminal involvements of the appellant, and while taking into account the appellant's lack of a current criminal history, the appellant was found not to be a suitable candidate for a pistol permit.
Thank you. Do you have any questions of the witness based upon what he just testified about?
Well, not necessarily, but the I'm kind of understanding a lot of this thing, so I'm trying to kind of walk myself through it a little bit. For the questions on the paperwork, I didn't answer them because of they stated that I had a pardon.
Okay. This is a kind of a strange procedure, but all you can do right now is ask him questions about what he just said. If you don't have any, that's fine. You'll get to tell your full story when it's your turn.
No questions.
Okay. The board have any questions? Well, guess what? It's your turn. Tell us what you want us to know.
Oh, well, I got my pardon, and on the paperwork, it was stating about the addresses. I didn't list the address for the last 10 years because of I didn't read that part completely. I just needed the addresses for where I lived at, that I own my home now. So I bought that house 7 years. Been here 3 years, but I bought it. No, I'm sorry. I lived here 7 years, but I bought it 3 years ago. The stuff pertaining to the which me and my ex, we just had a bad relationship, and it just was just chaotic, and it was just bad. Even during the 2013 one, I married her and had a baby with her. So it's not like we was just beef. It was just chaotic between both of us. And ever since I've just not been with her, I haven't even had a parking ticket. Like, I just been on a straight and narrow path. I've been doing everything I'm supposed to do. I've been in the local 478 for the last 2015, so 10 years now. I've been near. I've never missed a day but to get a pardon and to get married. Like, so the idea of the saying that I'm not suitable to own a gun is not like I'm. It didn't. In one of the incidents, my ex-wife is the lady that she wrote a letter for my pardon. So as she's no longer existing to me as a bad vibe. I've been married for the last 3 years now. I've been living in Middletown. I've never had a police. Has not ever came to my home. They haven't been there. I haven't had any issues or anything whatsoever. I understand the nature of some of the things, maybe, well, and it's been pardoned and whatever. But at the end of the day, I'm not that same person anymore. Like, that person's completely gone. I'm just trying to just move forward in my life right now. I'm 41. I'm at the second stage of my life. I want to be able to protect my life, protect my home. I helped my wife get her permit. He helped her get it. So I'm just here just trying to just show that I'm not the same person of what happened 2004 of what he's bringing up now. So that's about what I have right now at this moment.
Thank you. Sir, do you have any questions for the appellant?
So it's your statement that the contentious relationship with your wife resulted in your being arrested for home invasion, larceny, second degree, burglary, first degree, unlawful restraint, first degree, reckless endangerment, first degree, and risk of injury to a minor?
I'm not putting the blame on her. What I'm saying is that part is gone. I married her after that. So at the end of the day, I was in her house, I tried to get her phone, she was on the phone talking about me, I reached for the phone, I tried to grab her phone to see who she was on the phone with and talking to, and she wouldn't let me see the phone, so I pushed her down and tried to get the phone. Then I never got the phone, so I never knew who she was talking to at the same time anyway. And we went through our process, and I went to court pertaining to it. And again, I said, I had a baby with her after that just as well, and I married her. So it couldn't, it was just a bad situation and a bad relationship that we had going on. And every incident that I mostly had pertaining to anything in my life is her involved in it. And now she ain't here, I don't got no issues. I purchased my first home. I work 6 days a week. I only take Saturday to myself. I work at a package store on Sundays by myself, 10 to 6. I'm just doing everything I'm supposed to do.
So you're not currently married to her?
No. Okay. No, we had a divorce, and that was it. She got to go.
And were there children present during that incident?
I think my son was present for the 2014 when it was, but I had a daughter with her after that. My daughter is 10, so I tell you right now, I was crazy with her.
That's it for questions. Thank you.
Any questions about the board?
Just short.
Yes, sir.
How many children in common do you have with your ex?
Two.
Yes, sir. What's the arrangements now?
It's every other weekend. I pay my child support. I seen something in the file about they bringing up my child support. I don't owe anything.
How do you do the drop off and stuff?
We was doing them at the East Hartford Police Department. She started acting crazy there a little bit too, but that's a whole other story. And now she just drops them off and she go by her day. Okay. We're not gonna see being in that best relationship. Mm-hmm. We're never going to, because I moved on. Of course, I married, so of course she's one I always had that little inkling. But she wrote a letter pertaining to my pardon as well, so it can't be that bad between us.
So the only contact you have is when she's dropping off or picking up.
She calls me here and there every now and then, get a little spicy about certain things, but it ain't never just. She just regular ex-wife things. Like, that's about it now at this point.
Anybody else? Yeah, I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Why didn't you list the most recent protective order on the form?
Because I thought, because I had a pardon that I was, because it was saying that, I thought as having a pardon that I wasn't supposed to actually list anything that I was arrested for. So when I put no to that answer ready, I was putting no because I hadn't been arrested. I got a pardon after that, so right. I didn't know that I was supposed to do that. If I knew how to put it down.
It does say if you have one within the last 5 years, you're supposed to list it, even if it was gone.
But I didn't read that part thoroughly enough to understand that state. I thought that I'm having a pardon. Anything that's pertaining to me getting arrested, I'm supposed to put no. But it was just a miss on my part, because again, my wife that I have now, she kind of helps me with that type of stuff. So at the end of the day, I was trying to fill it out, the paperwork inside the lobby, so that they could do my fingerprint. So not that I was rushing and saying it's blaming them, but I'm trying to fill out the paperwork, getting in to do the fingerprint, so that I could go about my day. I didn't really see that part in any other application that I probably fill out with the addresses. I never go that far back. I just put the address that I'm going to be at, most hopefully for the rest of my life.
Well, this is to get a gun permit, so you can.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, of course, I understood that, but I didn't. It wasn't like I got a second chance to tell him, oh, my fault, I didn't understand. So he just denied it. So I didn't know what to do at that point right there. But I mean, there's nothing I could do. Hey, I apologize now, but I wasn't trying to lie or hide anything, because I have no reason to.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else?
Just follow up.
Yes,
what
sir.
Year did you get your part?
Maybe 22. I might be off a year, but anywhere between 22 and 20. No, it can't be 23. Anywhere between 21 and 22.
Okay, so it was before you put in your application.
No, it was right. I already got my pardon before I put my application in.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
It was granted July 26, 2022.
Oh, sorry.
I believe you applied in October.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, no other questions. Now you can make a short closing statement if you'd like.
I'm a good guy. I made some bad mistakes in my life. I'm on a straight, narrow path now. I'm definitely going to be an advocate for anybody that's getting your life in order. I help out the school, the local 470 school in Meriden. I've been working nonstop since then. I don't get a break to myself. Like, I'm just here to try to just get my permit, move on about my day. My wife has hers, so we could probably go to the range together or something like that. I helped her get her. Again, I told you, helped to get it. And that's all I have right now.
Closing statement, sorry.
I would reiterate that there were two sections on the DPS that were inaccurate, the address as well as the section in regards to the protective order. I think that the DPS is fairly clear when it asks about arrests, and it has a statement underneath that talks about when you're allowed to say that you were not arrested, having been pardoned and things like that. It then has a separate section for convictions and a separate section for protective orders, which does include the language regardless of the outcome. That being said, the length and severity of those protective orders in the span of time, I think 14 years is a very long span of time for someone to have difficulty in changing what it is that they're doing. I understand that it was in the past, as the appellant has said, but from 2004 to 2018 is a long span of time to just keep having protective orders pop up. And the length of those orders and some of the charges that were pardoned subsequent to those orders as well. And the characterization of, I forget the exact terminology, but the contentious relationship between the appellant and his ex-wife and his description of it, in my opinion, don't warrant the charge of home invasion or burglary of first degree. Those seem to me to indicate that he entered a home somehow. I don't know. I can't access those records. They were pardoned. They're no longer part of, we had no ability to obtain those. I'm going off of, limited information, but those are pretty serious charges. There was a minor present, unlawful restraint in the first degree. Home invasion and burglary in the first degree, those are serious charges.
What dates were
and,
they?
And they,
I'm sorry.
All of those things taken together, the totality of those speaks to the suitability. If it was any one of those things, I think issuing authority may have had a different opinion. If it was simply an issue on the DPS, if it was one protective order from a while back, if it was, one charge that had been pardoned, and there was, no record of it. It was serious enough that a Google search turned up two different news agencies that put those charges up, and they're still up. And the totality of all of those things together, even with the length of time between then and now and the pardons, was enough that the issuing authority had a suitability issue and denied the permit.
Thank you. Any comments by the board?
I'll just say for the issuing authority and any other issuing authorities, when you're going to deny and there's an issue with the application, it's always best to call the applicant in and say why it's not here, because his reason may or may not be true. We don't know that, he didn't understand. But a lot of people come in and they don't understand. They think it's now late, I don't have to put it. They don't read it that carefully. They don't understand. We deal with it every day. You do too. And it's pretty clear to me what they're asking for, but some don't know that. The incident that was ultimately pardoned, you could have asked them about that too and then dig in some details. And, maybe it's still denied, maybe not, but at least we'd have the facts. Right now, we don't really know what happened. So it's always best to... if you think you're going to make a denial, to investigate a bit further rather than just do the denial.
Any other comments by the board?
I'd commend the appellant on seemingly turning his life around. We've seen several occasions of tumultuous, I don't know if that's the word, relationships and how they impact someone's life. Being able to move on from that is something that should be celebrated. It's not easy to do. So as far as the charges, the litany of charges in your history that have been pardoned, it's tough to judge a book by the cover. And seeing that you went through the procedure and got an actual certificate of pardon for that speaks loudly. And it's not just those of us in the room, but the court and the Board of Pardons approved you for the same thing. So that'll inform my position today, although I always love a Middletown Cubs.
Following on that, it won't surprise you to hear that a lot of people come before the board and say, I'm a changed man, I did that.
Of course.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
And certainly, as someone matures, as they get older, things change.
Yeah, I'm on the second stage.
It's also a convenient excuse for things that have happened in the past. But I'm impressed by your demeanor today, your sincerity, and also those good letters that are in there. There's a good stack of letters in detail saying why they think you can be trusted with a firearm, and that's going to persuade me. Any other comments?
No, I was going to add on the reference letter for Murray. Like, we've seen reference letters that look like, you know, Google wrote them. Like,
yeah.
These were, yeah.
These are real.
These are real people, you know, or they appear to be real people with real details of your life, your, you know, your character. So, okay. Good job on those.
Great. Okay, we'll vote. Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Carl Overturk.
Appellant.
Carl Lewis.
Appellant.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Appellant.
Ms. Johnson.
Appellant.
And I vote for appellant. So, good luck to you,
sir. Thank you.